Blog Talk Radio.
We did have some technical difficulties, so we're going to move on.
As we continued, we were talking about Isaiah 19:14. The Lord has mixed a perverse spirit in the midst, and they have caused Egypt to err in her every work, as a drunken man staggers in his vomit. And again, we were talking about perverse spirit, and we're talking about as a drunken man staggers in his vomit. At that time, a perverse spirit, that means everybody was doing anything and everything that they wanted to do. Confused, just no direction. Everything is just up in the air. As a man is drunk, drunken man is staggering around, don't know which way he's going, does not have any balance to his life or to his walk. Again, it staggers in his vomit. That's just something that it staggers in his vomit. Something that is that just has an awful, awful smell to it. And if you could just envision that, it is not a pleasant thing to even think of. Okay, so and it's saying here that that this drunken man is going to err. He's going to make mistakes because he is not in his right mind. And that is what it's saying here, a perverse spirit, a person who is not in the right spirit. Amen, a person who is not in the right spirit, it's just as though they are intoxicated, like a man who has been drinking, someone with a perverse spirit. Just, again, confused, messed up, with no direction, no counsel, no plans, nothing, no course in their life at all, just whatever goes. All right, that's perverse spirit. That is not of God. That is ungodly. Amen? We're looking at Proverbs 16:23 as we continue. The heart of the wise teaches his mouth and adds learning to his lips, and we spoke about that as well. That is, a wise heart is as a person, as a person's heart, whatever is in a person's heart is going to come out their lips. So if they are feeling whatever they're feeling within their heart, the words are going to be hard. If they have a thought, if they have a compassionate heart, that's going to come out of their lips. Amen? And here it says, the heart of the wise teaches his mouth, and he has a wise heart. He speaks as it dictates. So as the heart is responding, the lips are going to speak as the heart dictates. And so therefore, if a heart is wise, then the speech is going to be wise, or that speech is going to be of wisdom. Amen? So that's what it's saying when it is speaking in that manner. When you are talking about pleasant words as the Bible, the honey which is sweeter than that which has been expressed from it. Amen? It has flavor. It has fine flavor. Just pleasant words just makes people feel good. It's good to the ears. Amen? It's good for the atmosphere. It's good when you come in contact with someone that has pleasant words. People love to be around pleasant people. Amen? And that's usually what's within the heart. Moving on to Matthew 15:7-9. You hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, these people draw near me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their hearts is far from me. And Matthew 15:9, but in vain they do not worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. Now, in 15:7, as we look at this, the prophecy is found. If you want to look further, you can look at Isaiah 29:13, when it talks about the prophet. power, blessed Lord, unmask these hypocrites. And we may observe that when a hypocrite is found out, he should be exposed to all. This leads to his salvation. Amen. If he be permitted to retain his falsely acquired character, how can he escape from perdition? How can he escape from hell? Amen. The heart is far from, when it says the heart is far from me, that means it is, there is not true worship. True worship does not consist in the heart. Amen. True worship does not consist in it. They may be worshiping, but their heart is not there. Amen. And the Lord is able to see our hearts. He looks at our heart. Our heart determines who we are in the eyes of the Lord. We cannot hide ourselves. We cannot hide ourselves. God just looks at our heart and he knows all about it. And when it says up here, it says, but in vain do they worship me. In vain do they worship me. By the traditions of the elders, not only the word of God was perverted, but his worship was greatly corrupted. Amen? So in vain, when we look at in vain is not yielding something. In vain is fruitless. In vain is lacking substance or worth. Amen? Excessively proud of one's appearance is when someone is in vain. They are proud of their appearance. They are focused on themselves. A vain person. They are focused only on their appearance and how they look. That's all they focus on. Amen? Matthew 11:22-23 and 24. But I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre. I'm sorry. But I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the day of judgment than for you. 23. And you, Capernaum, which is exalted unto heaven, shall be brought down to Hades. For if the mighty works which have been done in you have been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. And I keep saying Sodom. I'm sorry, it's Sodom. I don't know why I'm saying that. But I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for you. And of course we know what Sodom was like. We know what Sodom was like. That's when, again, we're talking about, as we spoke earlier, about perverse spirits. That's what was happening in Sodom. There were perverse spirits. Everyone was doing anything and everything. And it says, it shall be more tolerable, everything to help to overwhelm the tribunal of God, the benefits and the favors which they've received, as well as the sins which they have committed. So we're looking at, we've talked about here in terms of, it is more tolerable for Tyre and Sodom at that day of judgment than for you. And that was, and the prophecy was, that was a judgment against Tyre and Sodom at that time. When we look at Matthew 11:22, there's one basic ingredient that must lie behind the fact that Ezekiel prophesied more about Tyre than any of the prophets as the capital of Phoenicia. it shall be more powerful. And if you want to look at, again, when in Matthew 10:15, we talked about Sodom and Gomorrah. If you look at Matthew 10:15, you can read that, and it will give you more information in terms of what happened in Sodom and Gomorrah. That's Matthew 10:15. Matthew 11:23, it says, "And you, Capernaum, which is exalted unto heaven, shall be brought down to Hades. For if the mighty works which have been done in you had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day." Amen. And we look at Matthew 11:23, "which are exalted in heaven." This is an expression used to denote a great privilege. When something is exalted, it's a great privilege. He meant that they were peculiarly favored with instruction. They were peculiarly favored with instruction. At that time, the city was prosperous. It was successful in commerce. It was signally favored with wealth. And most of all, it was signally favored with the presence, the preaching, and the miracles of the Lord. Jesus Christ here, he spent a large part of his time in the early part of his ministry, and in Capernaum and its neighborhoods, he performed chief miracles. So, at that time, Tyre and Sodom, that was a travel for commerce. That was a travel for commerce. There was constantly trading and all kind of travel that was going through these cities at that time, and it was very, very prosperous because it was that was the major traffic in terms of trading, commerce during that time. People were trading all the time. There was money flowing. It was money flowing all over the place. The place was prosperous, and this was what it was saying, that there was so much prosperity going on at that time. And when we look at it, shall be brought down to hell. This does not mean that all people should go to hell, but that the city which had flourished so prosperously should lose its prosperity and occupy the lowest place among cities. The word hell here is used to denote a place of punishment in the future world. It's a state of desolation and destruction as a city. It stands in contrast with the word heaven. In contrast, there's heaven and there's hell. And their being exalted to heaven did not mean that the people would all be saved or dwell in heaven. So their being born into hell, that refers to a desolation of a city. Okay, their privileges, honors, wealth, everything that they had was taken away, and they should sink as low among the cities as they had been before exalted. Amen? Before exalted. And remember, we stated exalted means a great privilege. That means a great privilege that that they had at that time. So we look at that, that's what it is referring to. And if you want to research more on exalted, if you look at Isaiah 14:13-15, and also Lamentations 2:1, you can get more information on that. And we're going to try to finish up with Acts. We did add 30 more minutes to our time, and we're going to go through this. Acts 3:6. We look at Acts 3:6. Then Peter said, soul have I not. But such as I have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. So verse 6, silver and gold have I none. The man had asked for money, but Peter assures him that he did not have that to give. He did not have silver or gold to give. But however, in such a way, he was showing that he had, if there was a willingness, to aid him, if he had possessed it. If he had silver and gold, he would have given it to him. Amen? This silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give you. So he did not have silver and gold, such as in power. Such as I have to give you, that's in power. It is not supposed to be that it was meant to say that if the power originated himself, it did not originate himself, but only that what was entrusted to him. Only that which was entrusted to him. Amen? And he immediately denotes, and he's talking about that it derived from the Lord Jesus Christ. The power that he had, it came from the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why it says, and Peter said, silver and gold I have none. I don't have that to give you, but I do have something else, if you're willing. I have the name of Jesus Christ to give you. And if you willingly accept that, he's saying, rise up and walk. If you're willing to accept the name of Jesus Christ, then rise up and walk. Amen? There's something about the name. There's something about the name Jesus Christ. And if you want to look even further, you look at Acts 4:10, or you can look at Mark 16:17 through 18. These signs shall follow them that believe, in my name shall they cast out devils. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. The expression means by his authority. Amen, by his authority, by the name of Jesus, by his authority or in the virtue of power derived from him. Amen. We are here stuck with a remarkable difference with what the Lord Jesus wrought or what the miracles that was worked at that time and in that in which was done by the apostles. He did it in his own name and by virtue of his own power. Jesus did not need the apostles. He did not speak the names of the apostles to do that. That was by his own virtue and his own power. Amen? He did not need a name. He was the name. Amen. He claimed dominion over disease and death. And he says, and let them have dominion over the fish, over the sea, over the birds, over the heavens, over the livestock, and over all the earth, and over all creeping things. And if you look at Genesis 1:26, you will notice that. See, the apostles never attempted to perform a miracle by their own power. It was only in the name of Jesus. And this circumstance alone shows that there was a radical difference between Christ and other prophets and teachers. Amen? When we see the word of Nazareth, this was a name by which was commonly known. And by this, he has been designated among the Jews and on the cross. And it is by no means improbable that the man had heard of him by his name. But it is important that he should understand that it is by the authority of him who had been crucified as an impostor. Amen? And the word rise up and walk. When we look at the word rise up and walk, to do this would be evidence of a signal for power, signal of power. It is remarkable that the, in this case, that is, was that it was commanded to do this one thing. It was commanded to do this one thing. There are similar cases, if you look at it, in John 5:8, Matthew 9:6, and Matthew 12:13. It would have been easy to allege that they had no power, that they were lame or sick, or palsied, or could do nothing until God should give them strength. But the command was to do the thing. Nor did the Savior or the apostles stop to convince them that they could do nothing. He never told them that they could do nothing. They did not doubt that, and it was as if it were done. You see, and they would ascribe the power of God. They would ascribe the power of God, and this was the condition of the sinner. Precisely like the sinner, God commands him to do a thing, and that was to repent. Amen. Repent and believe and lead a holy life. That's all he said. And that's an important piece right there. Repent, believe, and lead a holy life. Amen. And it's not merely an attempt to do it. It means that we are to wait. You know, we are to wait on him. Okay? We are to wait on him. But it actually, what it means is that we should repent and believe the word of Jesus Christ, believe the gospel. Amen? Repent and believe and lead a holy life. Repent. We should do that every day. Believe on the name Jesus Christ as he died, that he resurrected, and that he's coming back again. And we are to lead a holy life till he returns. Amen? We are to lead a holy life until he returns. The name of Jesus. Amen? The name of Jesus. We do thank you for tuning in at this time. Again, we added another 30 minutes to our clip and to the show, and we hope that that everything works out. But, you know, everything works out for the good, the glory, to those that love the Lord. I'm not looking at any mistake that was made or whatever happened. It just happens. We all make mistakes, you know, but God is the one that corrects it all. And that's why I thank God for this Bible study, this Bible interactive Bible study, even though that things happen. But you know what? It all works out. Amen? It works out for me, and it works out for you. Okay? So we do thank you again for tuning in. We will be working on part two of Faith That Believes. That's next Wednesday. All right? Until we meet again, God bless you, and may the Lord keep you. Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you for just for allowing us to be able to share a word of God. Father, even though that it did not work out the way we wanted, there were technical difficulties, we do thank you for just being a part of this time. Father, we love you, and we thank you most for loving us. Bless those that are listening. Bless those that participate, Father. We just ask that you just bless this show, that it would be a blessing to others, Father. Use us as vessels, Father, and we'll be sure to give you the praise in the precious name of Jesus Christ. As we ask it, amen. Amen. God bless you. Love you.